News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. India pulled out of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership last year, as joining it would have resulted in fairly negative consequences for the country's economy, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar said on Wednesday. In an address at an online discussion organized by the Center for European Policy Studies, Jaishankar also forcefully pressed for reform of the United Nations, saying one or two countries must not be allowed to halt the process for their perpetual gain. On the proposed free trade agreement between India and the European Union, Jaishankar said New Delhi was looking for a fair and balanced pact. Asked about the RCEP, the External Affairs Minister said India withdrew from it as a number of key concerns flagged by it were not addressed. His comments came 3 days after 15 Asia-Pacific economies signed the RCEP agreement, creating the world's largest free trade area. Essentially, we saw that a number of our key concerns were not addressed. We had to then take a call whether you enter a trade agreement if your major concerns are not addressed, or do you take a call saying this is not in my interest, Jaishankar said during an online discussion organized by the Center for European Policy Studies. We took a call that given the way it is currently, it is not in our interest to enter this agreement because it would have fairly immediate negative consequences for our economy, he said. The RCEP deal, sealed on Sunday, comprised 10 member countries of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and 5 of the bloc's dialogue partners: China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. Because you are negotiating does not mean you have to suspend your ability to calculate at the end of the negotiation. I think we made those calculations. Very frankly, what we did with regard to RCEP is not a generic position vis-a-vis trade, said Jaishankar. India was part of the RCEP negotiations for nearly 7 years. The unresolved issues included inadequate protection against import surge, lack of credible assurances to India on market access, non-tariff barriers, and possible circumvention of rules of origin by certain countries. Referring to the long-pending India-EU free trade agreement, Jaishankar said, "We want a fair and balanced FTA," but added that what is fair and balanced is a subject of negotiation. Social media giant Twitter has apologized in writing to a key parliamentary panel for wrongly showing Ladakh in China and has promised to correct the error by the month end, the committee's chairperson Meenakshi Lekhi said on Wednesday. Twitter's deposition has come in the form of an affidavit signed by Damien Carrion, chief privacy officer of Twitter Incorporated, for wrong geotagging of India's map, Lekhi told PTI. Last month, the Joint Committee of Parliament on Data Protection Bill had come down heavily on Twitter for showing Ladakh as part of China, saying it amounted to treason, and had sought an explanation by the US-based parent of the social media platform in the form of an affidavit. Appearing before the panel, chaired by Lekhi, representatives of Twitter India had begged apology, but they were told by the members that it was a criminal offence that questioned the sovereignty of the country, and an affidavit must be submitted by Twitter Incorporated, not by its marketing arm, Twitter India. Twitter has now given us a written apology on an affidavit for Ladakh being shown in China, Lekhi said. They have apologized for hurting Indian sentiments and have sworn to correct the error by November 30, 2020, she said, adding that people of India and the government remain committed to the national integrity and security. Taking a dig at the BJP's rival parties in Jammu and Kashmir, Lekhi said, "Physical to digital resources of India will always be protected by its people, while members from Gupkar Alliance may be holding meetings in Havelis and nurturing different dreams against the national interest." The alliance of about 10 regional parties has demanded the restoration of Article 370. Twitter had come under heavy criticism and faced a backlash from social media users after its geotagging feature displayed Jammu and Kashmir, the People's Republic of China, in a live broadcast from Leh's Hall of Fame, a war memorial for fallen soldiers in the Union Territory of Ladakh. Former US President Barack Obama's A Promised Land sold nearly 890,000 copies in the US and Canada in its first 24 hours, putting it on track to be the best-selling presidential memoir in modern history. The first day sales, a record for Penguin Random House, includes pre-orders, e-books, and audio. "We are thrilled with the first day sales," said David Drake, publisher of the Penguin Random House imprint, Crown. They reflect the widespread excitement that readers have for President Obama's highly anticipated and extraordinarily written book. The only book by a former White House resident to come close to the early pace of A Promised Land is the memoir by Obama's wife, Michelle Obama, whose Becoming sold 725,000 copies in North America its first day and has topped 10 million worldwide since its release in 2018. Becoming is still so in demand that Crown, which publishes both Obamas and reportedly paid around $60 million for their books, has yet to release a paperback. As of midday Wednesday, A Promised Land was number one on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. James Daunt, CEO of Barnes & Noble, said that the superstore chain easily sold more than 50,000 copies its first day and hoped to reach 500,000 within 10 days. "So far, it has been neck and neck with Michelle Obama's book," he said. By comparison, Bill Clinton's My Life sold around 400,000 copies in North America its first day, and George W. Bush's Decision Points around 220,000, with sales for each memoir currently between 3.5 and 4 million copies. The fastest-selling book in memory remains J.K. Rowling's seventh and final Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, which came out in 2007 and sold more than 8 million copies within 24 hours. Obama's 768-page memoir, which came out on Tuesday and has a list price of $45, had unusually risky timing for a book of such importance to the author, to readers, and to the publishing industry. It came out just 2 weeks after Election Day and could have been overshadowed had the race still been in doubt or perhaps unwanted by distressed Obama fans if President Donald Trump had defeated Democratic nominee Joe Biden. But Biden won, and his victory likely renews interest in an era when he was Obama's trusted and popular vice president. Obama himself acknowledges that he didn't intend for the book, the first of two planned volumes, to arrive so close to a presidential election or to take nearly 4 years after he left the White House, months longer than For My Life and 2 years longer than Decision Points. In the introduction to A Promised Land, dated August 2020, Obama writes that the book kept growing in length and scope as he found he needed more words than expected to capture a given moment, a bind many authors well understand. He was also working under conditions he didn't fully anticipate, from the pandemic to the Black Lives Matter protests, to, most troubling of all, how the country's democracy seems to be teetering on the brink of crisis. The Bangladesh Cricket Board has assigned a personal bodyguard for their most popular cricketer in modern times, Shakib Al Hasan. The move comes in the aftermath of the death threat he received for inaugurating a Kali Puja Pandal in Kolkata. The guard was seen escorting Shakib during the practice session at the Sher-e Bangla Stadium in Mirpur, Dhaka. "We have taken the measure as precaution, although we see the threats as personal and isolated incidents," Bangladesh Cricket Board CEO Nizam Uddin Chaudhary told BDNews24.com. Earlier, Bangladesh police on Tuesday arrested a man who allegedly issued death threats to cricket all-rounder Shakib Al Hasan for inaugurating a Kali Puja Pandal in Kolkata, even as the cricketer issued an apology and said he only joined the function briefly. A joint team of the Elite Anti-Crime Rapid Action Battalion and police arrested 28-year-old Mohsin Talukdar from southeastern Sunam Ganj district after 24 hours of a massive manhunt. "He is now in our custody awaiting subsequent legal procedures," a police officer familiar with the development told PTI. After the cricketer's picture at the program in Kolkata's Amra Shobai Club went viral, Talukdar went live on Facebook on Sunday night, carrying a large machete in his hand and threatened to kill Shakib, saying he hurt his religious sentiments by inaugurating the puja event in the West Bengal's capital city. By early morning, Talukdar, however, withdrew the threat and apologized in another live video on social media, and then went into hiding. He was later traced in neighboring Sunamganj district. His wife was previously detained for questioning. The 33-year-old cricketer, in a post on Facebook, denied inaugurating the puja pandal. He said it was inaugurated by Kolkata Mayor Firhad Hakim. Media, social media, everywhere, it was flooded that I went to Kolkata to inaugurate a puja ceremony, which actually was not the reason behind my visit, and I did not inaugurate a puja, he said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.